This year's Commission on the Status of Women is extremely important because it takes place at a very strategic moment in the global conversations on what the next development agenda should be globally. As you know, the Millennium Development Goals, which were set in 2001, come to an end in 2015. And right now, the General Assembly and governments assembled there have been discussing what they should agree to collectively to eradicate poverty and deal with environmental and economic issues, as well as social issues globally. And this is the moment where we can really weigh in as to what that might mean for women's rights and women globally.
So as we go into the final day, what does the CSW come up with?
We went in wanting governments to make a very strong commitment to a goal, a specific goal on gender equality and women's rights in this next development agenda. As you know, there was a goal on gender equality in the Millennium Development Goals, Millennium Development Goal 3. And while some may have assumed that because we had a goal on gender equality in the existing framework, we would by default have one in the next development agenda, we didn't assume that was the case. And we were right, because there was, in fact, some pushback on that from some conservative quarters at the UN. And we've had to really press governments to make a commitment. And we wanted the commitment to be made here because this is the venue where we have the most experts from capitals, the most informed delegations, government delegations, when it comes to women's rights. And we felt if they didn't decide on this here, that we should have a goal on gender equality in the next development agenda, there was a chance that we wouldn't be able to get it in the General Assembly discussions that are going to take place this summer and after that.
How does it work in the negotiations? Who's wielding the real influence?
Well, governments are wielding the real influence. We as civil society sit on the margins lobbying them. And there are definitely some groups of countries that have become known for their championing women's rights issues. Things have evolved a great deal in the last 15 years I've been coming to the CSW. We now have, of course, in addition to the traditional blocks of countries that have been supportive, like the European Union and the United States, Australia, Canada, Norway, those countries, we now have very good support from the entire block of Latin American countries. And that's very important, particularly for those of us working on sexual and reproductive health and rights. Latin America, which used to take some conservative, or sometimes very conservative, positions on these issues, has now embraced women's human rights completely, including all aspects of their sexuality and reproduction. So there's solid support for women's rights from the North and the South.
You've been coming here for 15 years. Do you see the CSW as a relevant institution?
Yes, it's still very relevant because this is the one venue where you get the important participation of government officials from their capitals coming here for 2 weeks to really discuss women's rights. There is no other venue like that at the United Nations. There is no place where we can really discuss these issues across sectors, whether it's the situation of women in agriculture or women fisherwomen, or, you know, so there's that broad perspective on women's lives and women's rights. There is no other venue like that. For us women, the CSW and the United Nations more broadly has remained an incredibly important platform where we can change norms and discuss new agendas.